Welcome back, and this is iFaith message number 90, Filthy Rags. In our three previous messages from Isaiah, we learned not just about ancient Israel, its challenges, its spiritual condition, but we also saw how to apply those insights to our own lives. And today's lesson, Filthy Rags, will be no different. In fact, it's from one of the more familiar passages in Isaiah. We'll talk about that in a moment. In Isaiah 1, we looked at the importance of reasoning with God. God appeals to us, not so much an intellectual appeal as a moral appeal. Yes, we should be right. We should be on track, on target, hopefully correct in the things that count. But it's more about being upright than right. In chapter 6, the one that I called, Here Am I, Send Aaron, if we're going to embrace the mission God has given us, we first must appreciate our spiritual condition and particularly experience God's cleansing and welcome that. Because without that, we're not really equipped for the mission to which God calls us. This will tie in very nicely with today's lesson, I think. Then in the third talk from Isaiah 10, where we saw that Assyria, the punishing nation, was a tool used by God to chasten Israel. We had the talk, I called it rod, club, axe, saw, knife also, if you remember my visual aid. But we are simply tools, and God could work through us, but we need to not think that we're greater than the one who wields us. The tail doesn't wag the dog. The axe doesn't lift up the one who's wielding it. At any rate, we were in the 8th century BC in these early chapters, but now we're at the end of Isaiah. In fact, there's a profound change in the book after chapter 40. Starting in chapter 40, envisions a time of return from the exile, and it seems we're actually in the next period, the Persian period. So early 8th century was Assyrian, actually through most of that century, and then the Babylonians arise, and now it's the Persians. It's a very different scene, and throughout Isaiah, again, the most quoted book in the New Testament of the prophets, there's an alternation of doom, oracles of woe, doom and punishment, and hope of future. There's a new beginning. And all the prophets do that. They alternate those two kinds of messages of warning and messages of hope. Well, our passage today is one that is often misinterpreted by Bible readers, and especially by Protestants. And let me just read the line itself. Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. You may have heard this. You may have heard this perhaps in a communion talk, or maybe you were in a Bible study series, and it was about Isaiah. Filthy rags. I have one right here. I thought of the filthy rags when I was a kid, and some of you who are older, we didn't have disposable nappies. Diapers were cloth, and they had to be cleaned, and that itself was pretty gross. Well, fortunately for me and for you, I couldn't find one of my old diapers. But how about this? This is used, we use this to wash, get the mud off our dog's paws after a walk. It's thoroughly dirty, I assure you. So the idea is that even when we give God our very best, we're obeying him, we're loving him, doing everything still, because God's so much purer than us, our best effort is nothing. It's rejected. It's filthy. But is that what the passage actually says? So, to find out, do what we should always do. Read the passage in context. I'll back up just one verse. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, God, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweeps us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Now, that's not exactly the picture of men and women who are trying to follow God. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. It says that we continued to sin against your commands. We shrivel up like a leaf because the wind of our sins sweeps us away. And no one calls on your name. No one's even really trying. So, yes, work salvation, the idea that we have to be good enough to be saved, work salvation is rightly rejected by Scripture. But so is dead faith. But unfortunately, many Protestants and evangelicals have this all backwards. They would say that if you're trying really hard to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12, then you're actually sinning. The way to be saved is don't try. Let God do everything. You don't have to worry about obedience. It's all covered. And of course, many groups teach that once you're saved, there's no way you can become unsaved. So relax. And that's just not right. It's backwards. And what makes this, I think, worse is that, well, today in the English world, the New International Version is the best-selling Bible. But it used to be the King James Bible. And the King James Bible doesn't say all of our righteous acts. It says our righteousness, or actually our righteousnesses. So it's like our righteousness, that's rejected by God. We need Christ's righteousness. You know, and there's some truth to that. But even the translation hurts us. There's a perfect parallel with Isaiah 59. In that chapter, we see that our sin separates us from God. But what kind of sin? When you read that chapter, you'll see that God's people are directly involved in things like oppression, not caring for the needy, their guilt. They're guilty in the things that they do, the things that they say. And so no wonder God is not listening. See, the religious acts Isaiah describes are filthy, like the rag, not because humans always fail, though that's also true, but they're rejected because there is no real relationship with God. Israel had forgotten God. They were living in sin with no intention of pursuing holiness. Now, in contrast, throughout Scripture, we also read about clean garments, white garments, in contrast to those filthy garments. For example, in the book of Revelation, where the Laodiceans are to clothe themselves with white. In Sardis, the Sardians who have followed God and have not soiled their clothes will walk with God dressed in white. We see similar thoughts in Zechariah chapter 3. So clean garments, that represents those who are living righteously. It's not just somehow they're not actually righteous, but through Christ, God sees them as righteous. No, Christ helps us to be righteous. It's not just, we're unrighteous, but God pretends we are. No, through the power of the Spirit, we're becoming righteous. We're becoming more and more righteous. And if we're living that way and really trying, then there's cleansing. In the New Testament, 1 John 1 speaks of a similar situation. We're not perfect. But if we walk in the light, the blood of Christ continues to forgive us of our sins. So this is really important, because if we misunderstand this, we can either be too hard on ourselves or too soft on ourselves. And neither is good, spiritually speaking. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? Because obviously ancient Israel did not understand God's righteousness. And Paul amplifies that thought in the book of Romans. And, you know, Christ was the end of the law, but they're trying to establish their own kind of law, their own system, and particularly their version of the law of Moses. And so they rejected Christ, because Christ is not just all about rule keeping and you know, some kind of ritual. So what should we do? Well, I've got a few conclusions here for you. First, this passage, Isaiah 64:6, should never be used as an excuse not to give the best to the Lord. It's not saying that even when you do your best, it's still rejected, so, you know, what can you do? No, they're filthy rags because they don't intend to obey. Second, faith, and this is clear in Isaiah and in the entire Old Testament and the New Testament, faith is completed by works. It's authenticated by works. When we live the right way, it shows that we have that faith. For example, read the book of James in the New Testament, who talks about this. Third, When we turn away from sin, when we rely on God's cleansing power, then we're clean in his eyes. We saw in our first Isaiah message, Isaiah 1:16, that we can become cleansed, but we don't do that simply by becoming religious. We need to change our behavior and become righteous through God's power. Next, going through the motions can never make up for lack of obedience. Going through the motions, just showing up at church, just helping people now and again, occasionally reading the Bible, but no real discipline, no significant lifestyle change or difference from our neighbors who do not know Christ. Passages like Malachi 1, Jeremiah 13 speak about this. So it's a very big theme in the prophets. Now, yes, in the Bible, there are some passages that reject works righteousness, that, you know, we have, God has works for us to do, but don't think that that's what saves us. Ephesians 2 is a beautiful chapter. It's one of many that deal with this topic. But Isaiah 64 does not. It is a very memorable metaphor, isn't it? You know, the filthy rags. But I want you to remember that the filthy rags are filthy, not because our best is rejected by God, but because God rejects us when we refuse to even try to give our best. That's the point the prophet's making. So let's strive to stay clean, to be faithful to the Lord, to be, of course, hardworking and sincere. And let's read all the Bible in context. Let's be willing to question our assumptions, our traditions, things we may have heard before. Because this passage, Isaiah 64, is misunderstood by almost every Bible reader who reads it. And it's not because the passage is unclear. It's because they've just read a single line out of context, and they've simply gone along with what their pastor or Sunday school teacher has said. But I challenge you to read the Bible as it is written, and don't hop around pulling verses out. Study the context. Focus. Filthy rags? Well, we do thank God that through Christ, he deals with our filthiness. We do thank the Lord for what he does to help us to be righteous. Because, of course, Christ is the righteousness of God, 1 Corinthians 1. And we participate in that. But that participation is not just mystical, it's actual. It's something to be lived out. And our next message will be going to the next 8th century prophet, and that is Hosea, the one in whom we get an amazing glimpse of the gospel. God bless you. See you next time.